today is Tuesday, June the 17th, 163rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Arcata City Manager.
Hey, Brian.
Randy Mendoza.
Hey, it's really good to be here.
Yeah, hey. We've got a couple things to talk about, like what's he going to be doing in a couple of weeks, as an example, as well as the general state and condition of the city of Arcata.
Glad to, my favorite subject.
Which? What you'll be doing in 3 weeks or?
Both.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out what he's going to be up to when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. But before we do, now I've got a cooking quote here that could be fun. And I've got a quote here on loneliness.
Oh, do the food thing. Always the food.
I kind of figured that would be what you were going to be doing instead of standing out in the field on your lawnmower wondering what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Food's the right one.
Okay. Harriet Van Horn, 1956, quote, "Cooking is like love. It should be entered into with abandon or not at all."
I guess, well, what does that mean?
That means
does she like to cook or not?
Yeah.
I can't really tell.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess I'm just been indoctrinated with the Food Network. I'm reading the Food Network book, so that's where my brain
is. Oh, are you? Which one?
The history behind the Food Network and how it all started in a little back room.
In a little kitchen.
Little kitchen.
On the East Coast.
On the East Coast. And now they're tremendously successful.
Oh, it's... And I suppose that's true with anything. You get a good idea and have enough faith in the concept to be able to really to push through whatever it takes to get the job done.
Well, exactly. You know, they were entrepreneurs that believed in it, that got knocked on their rears several times, but kept, despite the odds, kept pushing forward, and they turned it into quite the success.
Are there those that are that farsighted and passionate in government?
Yes, there really are. I see.
How do they find the venue to be able to take that and run with it and run with it and run with it? Because I would think there's a finite amount of time, and if there's no personal, there's no opportunity for any personal reimbursement for the idea, for the passion, for the stick-to-itiveness. Why do they do it?
You know, coming from the private sector, you know, my family was, you know, is in the private sector. We've had a family business for many years, and then coming from the public sector, it's different. I think they're different motivators. I think for the public, you know, being a public servant, I mean, it's a great honor to me. I mean, public service has always been a big part of our family, but I talk with colleagues a lot. I use the term fire in your belly. You know, you have to have that fire in your belly to serve. And really, when you look around your community and you can see that, gee, things maybe you might have helped a little bit to make things better, it's tremendously satisfying. But I've also had that talk with colleagues over the years. I remember talking with a colleague from another area. It was at a conference. He was very upset. You know, things weren't going well. He was unhappy. And I said, man, you must be a real fun person to work with. And I said, if you don't have a fire in your belly, just, you know, why don't you just retire? And it's funny, after that conference, about a month later, he dropped me an email and said, you know what, thanks for the pep talk. I retired because he just didn't have that fire in his belly anymore. So when you get to that point, move over and let someone else do it, because the community and the citizens you have the privilege of serving deserve it.
Have you had in your tenure as city manager somebody on staff who had an idea and was purple passionate about it, got bloody trying to get you to say yes to it, went, you know, department head, got bloody, and went to the mat three or four different times to get an idea that was finally accepted?
Yes. The high energy use tax. When I first heard that, I thought, this is crazy. $600,000. We don't have $600,000 for that. But then as it started proceeding, it became the will of the people. So it went up to a vote. And so our job is to implement the will of the people. And I'll tell you, it was, I declare it a success, because I equate it to, if you have a big sinkhole out in front on a city street, and it's swallowing up Corvettes or something, you know, the citizens are going to demand that
you really have checked out. Now you're dreaming about Corvettes too.
Well, they just had a sinkhole.
And the Food Network, okay.
They just had that happen.
You got a new show in your offing, don't you?
You didn't watch the news where the sinkhole swallowed up the Corvette International Corvette Museum?
No.
Yeah, that was on the news here. So, but anyway, that's where that came from.
I don't get home that early.
So people would expect that you do something about that, you know, as a city. Well, the grow house situation got so bad in Arcata, where every neighborhood was affected. Every, you know, people were afraid that their kids couldn't go out in their yards to play because of the smell of the marijuana, first of all, and then also the risk of violence for people that would come and try to steal the marijuana, taking away, you know, housing. I mean, it took a huge chunk of our housing stock, just to name a few things. So a lot. It looks like that was a significant problem that affected every neighborhood. The citizens of Arcata were fed up, and it's really, this Measure I has really pulled that back to where it's brought some sanity back into our neighborhoods and increased the livability of our neighborhood. So that's a good example, I think.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, KWSW980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, just for clarification, you are officially retiring. Well, you got, what, 10 days left to work?
Oh, I haven't counted.
Well, I can do it.
July 7th is my last day.
Oh, okay. So you've got seven. Well, and you're not working on the 4th, are you?
No.
Okay. So you've got, yeah. Okay. You're in teens.
You know, it's interesting. Just going back from that fire in your belly, I honestly have not counted down. People keep asking me that, but you've ever worked for somebody that is watching the clock and their short timer syndrome, you just can't wait for them to get away.
Work for them or had them work for
you? Or work
you?
With them, you know, yeah, either way, yeah. You know, yeah. So I've never liked working around people like that. So I'm doing my best to keep it full throttle until.
So I was then going to ask, are you going to serve as interim until the full-time city manager is found?
I don't think so. I think that right now there is someone in the one of the department directors, I think, could be a very good interim.
Do they want to?
Well, they're willing to do do their duty. That's part of being a department director. Of course, I'm happy to. I would help the city anytime they asked, but I think I think part of the job description in my mind, you know, when you're, for instance, a city manager is to get out of the way you know, when your time is up, you need to get out of the way so that your successor has the opportunity to, you know, to learn the city, and they're not worrying about being second guessed and someone out there talking to staff and right behind their back, et cetera.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, once whoever the permanent replacement is, I think that would be ideal. Are you hearing anything about how the search is going? Are they whispering? Or are you
the council
involved
right now,
in it at all?
I'm not involved in it. The council right now is looking over applications, and I think they'll continue to accept applications till they fill it. But right now, they are looking at some applications and deciding if they'll have set up some interviews.
So it's still in the early stages.
It's still in the early stages. I suspect they'll have at least an interim for at least a couple of months.
So if you're gone on the 7th, what are you going to do on the 8th?
You know, I don't know. I honestly, I haven't thought about it yet.
Sleep in, maybe?
Probably not. I have, you know, my kids are probably going to be ready
it's
to go somewhere.
Though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you have to hustle them off to school.
That's a good question. You know, I have to learn. I have to learn how to do this retirement thing, and I haven't. I'm looking for a school. Maybe there's a school somewhere I can go get trained how to do this. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet. You're not going to be retiring, are you?
No, I'm just. You know, we'll see what else comes up.
Shifting.
Yeah, you know, there'll be something, a new adventure somewhere, I'm sure will come up.
Yeah, I don't like this. All these guys younger than me are retiring.
This is
not right.
I think we've talked about our birthdays in the past. I don't think I'm younger than you.
No, a couple guys.
I think I got a few years on you.
Eureka Police are retiring in July also that were younger than me in school.
Well, yeah, I remember when they were in the academy. Yeah, that's at least Leonard. I remember Leonard when he was in the academy.
Yeah, that's not right. Pure and simple, it's not right. Nobody should retire in their early 50s. I don't care.
But, you know, it's interesting, you know, just talking about the law enforcement retirement and public safety, you know, for police and fire. You know, there's not a lot left of them after 50, and it's surprisingly the mortality rates among public safety employees is pretty high. So there really is a reason why they have that that retirement age, because there's really not a lot left of them after, you know, especially if someone's worked the line, you know.
So you're suggesting you don't really have to worry about PERS and the condition that it's in?
No, I think PERS is going to 2017 PERS is going to be reconciled, I believe.
Yeah.
They're going to be charging the cities and the counties some high premiums, but in my opinion, I think that's going to stabilize PERS, and it will not be an unfunded liability, that it will be fully funded and safer than it's ever been. So I think that's a good thing.
That's what you're banking on.
Well, hopefully.
When you look at the city budget now for this coming year, I know you guys kind of play it conservative. You're not looking to lay out a ton of bucks where it isn't necessary. Do you feel comfortable?
I feel cautiously comfortable. Right now, we're still having we have another budget hearing coming up next Wednesday at the city council, but what the finance director and I presented to the council was a balanced budget and with about a 13% reserves, which is too low. I mean, the city has a policy. We like to be up to 20%. We don't know many entities that can be at 20% at this era, but I'd be
13 sounds pretty healthy.
Well,
compared to a lot of situations.
Oh, absolutely. But I think really, you know, things happen. Arcata is an old city. You know, we have terracotta sewer pipe that is still in the ground, that's been in the ground since the 1930s. And, you know, we have water tanks that are leaking. We have some major costs that, you know, a lot of deferred maintenance that if it breaks, we're going to need those reserves. And
would it be better to take half of those reserves and address it before breakage?
Well,
or are those numbers just not
you can't
there?
You got to have the reserves, because you know insurance doesn't cover those big things. But that is one thing that the city is looking at now, because our capital, our infrastructure has been deferred for so long, that we are looking at, we're doing some public hearings on some rate increases for water and wastewater.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, when you look at the infrastructure in Arcata, how was it allowed to get to the point where you're looking at such a significant increase all in one shot?
Well, I'm looking back on my perspective on the Arcata history, and there never really was a good time, you know, especially in the 90s, you know, we had the Y2K, interest rates were high, and, we were struggling with staffing. You know, there were no cops on the plaza, and, you know, we were struggling to get cops in the forest and in the plaza. And, we've had staffing turnovers, and of course, it's really hard to ask, you know, the taxpayers for an increase. And then, of course, we hit, you know, the biggest recession since the big depression, you know, in 2007, you know, the economy starts turning south. So, of course, you can't go out and that's not the time to that's the time to defer maintenance, you know, for our water. You know, you look at the county water district. I mean, the costs for the water district are being passed on to the wholesale customers. So there's a whole long line of reasons why. But we know now that if we don't start fixing some things now for 2014, 2015 dollars, that the 2020 dollars are going to cost the taxpayers a whole lot more and is going to fix a whole lot less.
You mentioned earlier in the show about the grow houses and how the premium tax, utility tax, has helped to knock out a lot of that. Did it result in more owner-occupied, or are the rentals now maybe having people live in them, or at least being fixed up so people can live in them, rather than being agricultural buildings?
You know, it's interesting you say that. That would be a great study for an HSU class to do, but I could only answer that anecdotally, and I would say that, I'm sure that we're getting more houses that are, our housing stock is becoming more available. It just has to be, because those houses were people were taking complete houses and turning them into grow houses. And now that's very difficult to do. Anecdotally, I think it's a tremendous success. But that would be a great thing for a study, I think.
Have you seen a lot of construction going on? Because I would think if something's been growing plants in it for a while, you probably have to rip the drywall down. And some of the, you know, refixtures and sure. Some of those real basic things that you would see contractor trucks in town working on these structures.
You know, I haven't noticed from that standpoint out of the ordinary. What I have noticed is substantially less, if not absent, complaints.
And really, almost took it down with a nub, huh?
It really did. I mean, we used to get complaints constantly about grow houses in the neighborhoods and because it was they were pretty outlandish. They were pretty bold. They kind of did it without any care.
I mean, the fertilizer truck would pull up and drop off three pallets in the driveway?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, it's just, you know, as long as marijuana is selling for $3,000, $4,000 a pound and, you know, in New Brunswick, you know, people are going to be wanting it. They're going to come and they're going to steal it, and it's going to be an unsafe crop to have next door to your house.
Have you had less? You guys get calls, the complaints. Have the cops also gotten less calls in response, or less break-ins? I mean, is there that kind of tracking also?
I don't know. They haven't told me of any, so I'm assuming that it might be the same, but I don't know.
It would stand to reason.
It would.
What's your house count down to, those that are subject to this? Did the slide get shared with you?
It did. It's been a while since I've looked at it. I want to say it's maybe 50 or 60, something like that.
So that's a pretty good chunk that's been taken off.
Right, right. So the about $45,000, $50,000 a month in revenues have been coming. So we feel that we'll pay it off in 2 years instead of what we thought would be a year. But still, you know, it's. I think it was...
Because there's less houses now, people are
motivated
to act.
Well, in the economic... You know, there should be some economic benefits too. You have more people living in town and, you know, shopping and, you know, and bringing their commerce to town. It, you know, it should be healthy for our economy as well.
I'm glad you didn't say a growing economy.
You're right. Yeah,
I was
careful.
A little redundant, huh? KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:40. Final segment with Mr. Mendoza when we come back.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with our kitty city manager, Randy Mendoza, for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
What are you going to remember most?
Oh, gosh, that's a loaded question. You're the first that's asked that. So,
really?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I learned a lot. You know, when I started with... the city of Arcata, we didn't even have computers. So I learned how to do computers for the city of Arcata.
City administrator, or is this as a cop?
I was a cop back then. We did not have any computers. So it was kind of interesting watching the city transform into the digital age from the 3x5 card age. So that's one thing that kind of stands out.
You talked a little bit about, you didn't use the term legacy, but certainly... that would be part of it. How do you want your time to be reflected on?
You know, I'm not good at that stuff. So I think that's up to others to decide.
You talked about the cops not having enough cops to be on the plaza.
Yeah.
I mean, that would certainly be one of the things.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it didn't have anything to do with me. I mean, the Measure G initiative that the voters of Arcata added that extra 3/4 cent sales tax made all the world of a difference. I mean, it was just incredible having those extra officers. I mean, so you look at the plaza today. Yeah, there's issues out there, but it's nowhere like it was before. And Redwood Park, we don't have the complaints. You know, people are using it now. The citizens have taken back their park and their parks, and just those things. Measure G has just been made all the difference. So I think people should feel very gratified that their extra help on that has made our community an incredible benefit.
If you could solve one thing on the wish list that you didn't get done, what would that be?
The budget. The city's going to be doing a budget task force coming up, which I think is really good. I mean, Arcata's economy is, you know, the revenue stream is very stable. We have a very diversified pie that most cities would be very jealous of. At least that's what our sales tax consultant tells us. What we have, the problem is the non-sustainable employee costs, the medical and, the health coverage and retirements. And it's just, they just haven't been able to be sustained, you know, we can't sustain the increases in those costs from the modest increases in our revenue. So I wished I could have done more with that, but I think that the city's on the road with the budget task force coming up because it's a big education thing. Because three quarters of the job is getting people to realize that you can't do everything. But in a city where you have to, you know, in any government, you have all these, you know, the citizens have a right to participate. And my mantra, what I keep saying is everybody wants what they want. So you have to get everybody together and decide okay, we want all of this, but what do we have to have? And that's part of the budget task force process, is the community working with the council and the staff and figuring out what we want and what we can afford.
The influence of the university.
Incredible.
You know, Town and Gown, heard about it, you know, forever and ever. Certainly things have changed over the years. The investment in the last little bit that the university has made or has been able to make, has that spread down into the city?
Oh, sure. I mean, that I characterize it as that's a $90 million economic engine sitting up there on the hill. It's incredible. I mean, it fills our restaurants. It fills our stores. I mean, it fills our housing stock. I mean, we have and that's part of our stable economy, is we know that the university is going to be full. We know that the enrollment, and it's one of the largest employers in Humboldt County. And yeah, it's really, it's great working in a university community, I think, because there's countless benefits.
When you look ahead for Arcata, what do you see that's out there? You talked a little bit about the wastewater. Okay, if that thing gets knocked off and is taken care of, what's going to be the first biggest thing that the next person is going to have to deal with?
Well, one of the things I think that I'd like to see Arcata do a little bit more in emergency management. I think that that's something that that I've tasked our police department to. I think we could be better prepared with our emergency management. I'll have to think about that one because, let's just say, yeah, the Ridge Trail. I think some of the Ridge Trail, there's some couple big projects like the Arcata Ridge Trail that I think will take a lot of work, but will come to being, and also the bike trail between Arcata and Eureka. I think that's another thing that looks very promising. We have some very promising grants that we are in a good position to receive. And I think that those two will be regional economic stimulators, not only just for Arcata, but Eureka and the other communities nearby are going to benefit from those.
So what's the family going to think about you hanging around the house all the time now?
Well, my kids are in school, so I don't know. I don't sit around much, so I'll be looking. Something will come up. I know it will. And I'm not going to look real hard until maybe January or so. But
take a little time to rekindle the fire?
Right. Stoke up the fire and get another load of wood and learn how to maybe not just change my RPMs a little bit.
But yeah, how to function 40 hours a week, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't involve night meetings.
Yeah, listen, volunteer. Well, thanks for coming by. I appreciate the ears, man.
Thank you, Brian. It's been great fun.
We've been Talking Shop with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.